Welcome to the Bold Money Revolution podcast. This is your source for straight talking, no fluff, business and high performance conversations that add real depth and value to the way bold leaders live, work, and thrive. I'm your host, Tara Newman. I'm here to show you how to optimize your performance as a leader so that you can grow a business that is profit rich, efficient, and allows you to generate real tangible wealth for yourself and others. We are here to help you lead with your values, to perform without overwhelm and burnout, and to do your most important work in the world. Hey, it's Tara here. Want to know how to ensure your business is profitable so you can pay yourself like the expert you are? For starters, you have to have a plan. You have to plan for it. Yep, no winging it allowed when it comes to how you're going to keep more of your money. Profit is a habit. I've made it easy for you by creating a calculator that will take you from your personal financial needs to exactly how much revenue you need to make that happen. It couldn't be easier. Then we automatically tell you how much money you need in order to pay yourself, pay your taxes, and invest in your business. It is that simple. Our revenue goal calculator is built on the principles of profit first, which creates a robust and manageable system for running a bold profit business to create that financial peace of mind you're after and to make your big money plans become reality. You'll want to make sure that your business is set up to fuel your financial goals. A plan to fuel your financial goals? That's pretty damn sexy, ain't it? Tough question for you today. Did you take action from part one of the episode? This is part two. Did you take action from last week's episode, part one? Did you answer the question, what do I want to thank my parent for or my mentor for? Or did you consume this podcast and immediately run on to consume the next thing and the next thing and the next thing, never pausing to take action, to be self-aware, to do the important self-reflection that's required to work on your businesses? That's my tough question for you. We have part two today, where we are going to talk about what we want to say no thank you to our parent or our mentor for. And the reason why we're talking about this is because many of my clients operate family-owned businesses. That means that they either work with family or they bought or inherited a business from a parent, or like 48.1% of entrepreneurs, they had a parent who was a small business owner. Or maybe you've had a mentor. That can apply to you too. Maybe you've had a mentor that you've learned a lot of things from, and this exercise could apply to them. It is a great exercise for closure, for healing, and for really stopping some of those intrusive thoughts that plague small business owners today, that play over and over, the narratives play over and over in their head, but you realize it is not your voice that is talking to you. It is distinctly the voice of a parent, of a mentor, of somebody else. And you are carrying around someone else's perspectives, and they are impacting all of the decisions you make in your business. They're getting in your way. When I ask business owners, what's stopping you from getting from point A to point B? Most frequent answer is myself. I'm standing in my own way. I'm in my own way. But when we start to unpack that, sure, it seems that way, but maybe not entirely. Maybe it's not your voice. Maybe those aren't your goals. Maybe you're being influenced and impacted by important people in your life. It's not to say they're not important. It's not to say we don't love them, but they don't belong in our head running our business with us on the day-to-day. And like I shared in the last episode, this exercise is the exercise I give my clients. So whether you have a family-owned business and or you ever want to work with me, this is an exercise that you will need to complete. It's a task that I give out. And I did not create this brilliance. I wish I did. I did not. This is by a woman named Heather Ashamara. She'd written a book. I had read the book. This exercise was in the book, and it was so helpful to me that I have spent years passing it down and working with my clients on this very simple and sometimes frustrating and sometimes painful exercise. So last week we looked at lessons I learned from my dad, things I wanted to say thank you to him for. I'd worked with him for a number of years. I've picked up a lot from my dad. I mentioned in last week's episode that people make an assumption that I have a leg up because my father was a small business owner. And I said, yes and no. It's not like he really like sat down and wrote something prescriptive for me to follow. And let's be honest, I wouldn't have followed it anyway because my dad, right? Who does everything their parents say. And now I want to talk about the easier part of the exercise. And if you haven't done last week's exercise, maybe you want to try this part first. And it's what I want to say no thank you to my dad for. It's what I want to say, I appreciate that this was a part of our relationship, that this was a lesson I took on, but I'm going to hand it back. No thanks, not for me. I tried, but it doesn't work. It doesn't work for me, right? And not I hate you, not curse you, not, it's no thank you, no thank you. And I understand that sometimes we have very charged relationships with our parents, and there are parents who have abandoned their children, and there are parents who have abused their children, and there are parents who are toxic and narcissistic. Trust me, I understand this. And we can still say no thank you, right? We can still say no thank you. The no thank you is not for them, it's for us. So here are the things that I want to say no thank you to my dad for. And by the way, I do this exercise. I've done this exercise many times, and it has changed because I've changed and the relationship with my father has changed. And if you would have asked me to do this exercise 10 years ago, it would have looked completely different than it does today. And that's normal. That's actually healthy. That's showing that my relationship to myself and to the people who have informed my life over the years, for better or worse, that those relationships are shifting, changing, and healing. And I will say that you never have to share these thank yous, no thank yous with anybody ever. I want you to feel like selfish in the sense that you can completely keep them to yourself and not have to be vulnerable and share them. And there have been times where I have shared these with my father that we have sat down and he has opened the conversation, or I have opened the conversation, and I've chosen to share these things. And they wound up being really validating with my dad. And this will not be with everybody's family member or everybody's mentor. I know for sure this will not happen. There are people who can't take responsibility for their part in a relationship. There are people who don't understand the importance of labeling or validating when somebody's talking to them. There are people who are not good listeners. So please don't charge into a relationship that feels unsafe to you and think you're going to get an outcome like I had. But if you do, it could be even more healing and beneficial. So the first thing I'm saying no thank you to is fear and anxiety around money. Now, if you ask people about my dad and his anxiety levels, they will tell you he is known for, they'll say, Elliot can make a cup of coffee nervous, right? Like he's just vibrates at times with stuff, his stuff, right? He has mellowed so much in his years. I have been able to witness that, and I feel really grateful that I've been able to witness that in him, both for him and for me. But growing up with him, there was a lot of fear and anxiety, especially around money. And listen, I understand that. It's probably really warranted. My mom stayed home. He had two young kids. And he was just trying to find and make his way in the world financially with those responsibilities on his shoulders. And we all have generational trauma around money. We all have fears and anxieties around money that have come from our ancestors. I understand this now. I didn't understand this when I was 8, 10, 12, 14, what have you. And so this is something that I am a big no thank you for. That doesn't mean I don't have fear and anxiety around money, folks. I do. It just means that I am aware of it. I see it. I work on it. And I'm very like, is this mine? Is this his? It's okay. I do a lot of self-talk. I do reparenting. And I really manage this and make sure that it's mine and not his. And that even looks like I do have some really epic conversations about money with my dad. And sometimes they tip into DeLulu land where I have to say to him, okay, listen, I'm feeling super activated because you feel very activated to me right now about money. I'm feeling that you are anxious, that you're unsure, that you feel unsettled. And I need to come back to this conversation at a later time. And you know what? He said that to me the other day. We were talking about something. It happened to be politics. And he said to me, you're really activated right now, and I can't have this conversation with you because I'm getting anxious. It works both ways, folks. Like when you start to talk to your parents this way, be prepared. Be prepared for them to throw it back at you. So I feel like I'm sharing this with you, not for you to feel like, oh my God, that's not attainable. I'll never get there. I don't know what that, I don't even understand what she's saying. But to say, I've been working on my relationship with money for over 20 years. And I have been working on my relationship with my dad and money for 10 years. All right. So when I say these things, this is not me being at the beginning of my journey feeling all awkward and weird. This is me being much further along and maybe sharing with you what it could look like if you're not here yet. Right. So don't compare if you're like just beginning, this is completely new to you. Don't compare your beginning to my middle. However, no thanks, Dad, for the fear and anxiety that comes with you and money. He also had this thing, and he said it to me once, and I like had a visceral reaction to it, around you don't turn down work. You take all the work. You take whoever is willing to pay you, anyone who is willing to pay you. It doesn't matter if it's a values match. It doesn't matter how they treat you or any of those things. You take the work. And when he said that to me, because it was along the context of like, you don't want to be authentic. You don't want to share who you necessarily like the parts of you because you want to be able to assimilate and take work on from everyone. So he was basically kind of saying like, don't be so upfront with your values. And I was like, that doesn't feel good to me. We live in a very divisive time. Like, I'm fine with you thinking and believing the things that you feel, but like if I'm going to be working with you, we have to have some overlap, right? Like we can't be at completely opposite ends of the spectrum. I've also had people approach me and want to work with me, and they have had some really shady, sketchy businesses. Like they're like, can I pay you $15,000 in cash? And I'm like, probably not. Right? Because that didn't feel good to me. I was like, where the heck is that money coming from? What am I getting involved in? Pretty sure this business is a front for something, right? So no, I'm not just going to take anyone's money. I also need them to be ready to do the work with me and a willing participant. And it's a different type of business than my father's business, which was a manufacturing business. And by the way, he had some really famous clients, and I'm not going to mention their names. I'm not going to name drop. But when I used to work with him, I was like, is that so-and-so? And he'd be like, yeah, they're a giant pain in the neck of a client. Like, they're terrible. They're a terrible human, right? And I was like, oh, I don't want to work with people that I think that of, right? We don't want to do that. And as a matter of fact, the thing I help my clients do the most is like what Mike Michalowicz calls pumpkin planning. Like finding the most profitable clients, finding the most profitable offers and services or products that they make, and just doubling down on those and not working with or doing those other things. Like I always give this example of my husband in his business. He manufactures autoclaves and sterilizers for research facilities. He gets these crazy long RFPs that he has to complete that he just doesn't have the time for. And so he's learned to ask the question, is this going to go to the lowest cost provider? And if they say yes, he just says, I'm sorry, we don't bid on those. Another one for him is the machine going into an existing space or is this a new build? Because when he's got to go into a space that's being newly built, it comes with a level of headaches and chaos that he just doesn't want to deal with at this point in his business and his career, right? So this whole concept around you don't turn down work, no thanks, Dad. I'm going to continue to pick and choose the clients and projects and jobs that are best suited for my strengths and my skill set and where I'm going to come together with people and just make the most epic results. That's what I want, right? So no thank you. Another one, you're all going to probably be able to, you know, understand this one. Our parents' generation had a lot of stuff around being productive. Always be productive. You always have to be productive. This was like a mantra in my house. It's Saturday morning, we're sleeping in. What are you doing to be productive? And it's a wonder why we're all like on this crazy like hustle, hamster wheel, rushing from thing to thing in this really hurried lifestyle, right? And I believe in productivity 100%. As a matter of fact, Cal Newport just wrote a really, his newest book called Slow Productivity. I want to recommend it. It's thought-provoking. He's always has thought-provoking content. And so I'm really taking a stand for slowing down and that when we slow down, we speed up. And we don't always have to be productive in the way our parents have put that on us. And I know I've worked with a number of clients who felt like their parents were always looking at them, calling them lazy, or like they had to go to school every day and get that attendance, that perfect attendance award. And that's how they approach business, their business, especially if it's a family-owned business, especially if their parents are still involved or still at the dinner table or whatever. And they feel like they have to prove their worthiness in their level of output and productivity and work hard or as hard or harder than their parents worked. This is a real place where business owners get messed up. This is a real place where there are these intrusive thoughts and beliefs that have been ingrained in us for decades by people that have had influence on us and that we care about and that have meaning to us, no matter how annoying our parents are. And those voices can be really hard to repel from our brains, right? So no thank you, Dad, to always having to be productive in the sense that you've defined it. And I get to define productivity, what that looks like, what that means, how I engage in my relationship to my output and my results. I get to define that for myself, for me. And I think the last thing that I am saying no thank you for is, and this maybe is an encapsulation of a few of the things that I've named here, but doing business his way. And the reason why I made this a separate one is I think that when we've been raised by business owners, when we have worked in a family business, when we have worked with family, it's very easy to do it the way it's always been done. I mean, this is any business, right? This is the big source of resistance. Well, we've always done it that way. Why do we need to change? But when it's family, when it's a parent, it's even harder, right? So I always want to be conscious that I am building my business. Even if you've taken over a business from a parent, It's not the same business. That's a podcast episode for another day, but it is not the same business. I'll just plant that seed right here. It is different and it is yours now. And you get to do it your way. And so that's just something that I want to say no thank you to doing business the way my father did it. And I want to welcome in the permission and the opportunity and the encouragement, self-encouragement to do business my way. And man, let me tell you, it's really noisy out there, not just from parents or having these voices in our head, but from having social media and the internet and friends and seeing how other people do business and saying, no, thank you to doing business that way. I'm going to do business my way. And really giving yourself that permission and that encouragement. And it's much easier for us to move forward when we take from these relationships, when we take from our parents the way we want to be intentional and discerning and say, thank you. I'm going to take that with me. That's important. That has really informed me and served me well. But no thank you to these things. That doesn't feel good for me right now. And it could be right now. You know, what might be a no thank you today, what if it's a thank you in a couple of years from now? Right? That could happen. That can happen. But it won't happen unless you take action and do these exercises and make these intentional choices about what you're taking with you and what you're leaving behind. So as we wrap up and roll out of this episode, your action is to sit down and write a list of what you're saying no thank you to your parent or your mentor. It could be a minimum of three things. You don't have to share it. No thank you. No thank you. No thank you. Not F you. Not I hate you. Not just, even if it's true. Even if they're a horrible person and you don't forgive them and you've cut them out of your life, the no thank you is for you. That's the energy we want to bring into this. No thank you for fear and anxiety around money. No thank you for taking on every job and client and project that comes my way. That doesn't feel good to me. That's not how I want to do it. No thank you for this always having to be productive narrative in my head. We've proven that generation, my father, without an education, I'm the first one in my family to have an education. Thanks, Dad. They sent us to school. They put us out into the world to expand our horizons beyond our families of origin. And we get to take those lessons and come back and say, you know what? This whole thing where you'll be more successful if you just work harder, we know that's not true. We know that's a myth. We have more information today than you did 40 years ago. There's data on this now. This doesn't work. This is outdated. This doing business your way, it's always been done that way. That's outdated. There's a modern alternative. What are we saying no thank you to our parents for? What are we handing back to them? What are we repelling out of our minds and our behaviors and our energy and our attitudes and all those things? And if you feel like you need a place to share this, please feel free. Email me, support@theboldleadershiprevolution.com, and let me know what you're saying no thank you to. If you've found this podcast valuable, help us develop more bold leaders in the world by sharing this episode with your friends, colleagues, and other bold leaders. Also, if you haven't done so already, please leave a review. I consider reviews like podcast currency, and it's the one thing you can do to help us out here at the Bold Leadership Revolution HQ. We would be so grateful for it. Special thanks goes to Stacey Harris from Uncommonly More, who is the producer and editor of this podcast. Go check them out for all your digital marketing and content creation needs. Be sure to tune into the next episode to help you embrace your ambition and leave the grind behind.